grace and peace to each of you on this fine day in our world. Today I begin this session 3 for Paul and his letter to the Philippians. This book of resounding joy, a letter written from a jail cell, and a letter written for the advancement of the gospel, the good news in the world. So today we're going to focus in on Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. And these are, again, some powerful, instructive words from Paul. This letter is jam-packed with wisdom and loving discernment of being the people of God in the world. So I'm going to read those verses to you. He writes, "I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel." I'm going to read that verse 12 again. "I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. Some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I have been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering and my imprisonment. What does it matter? What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true. And in that, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice." Wow. The word of the Lord. Again, I want you to put yourself in that place. He's writing this letter in a cold, dark jail cell, right? And these are the words that he speaks. Well, amusing question for you as we dive in. How did you first come to know Jesus? And who were the key people in your life who informed you of Jesus? We all have our story, don't we, of how we came to know Jesus and those who continued to share that story. One of those stories I've told in a sermon a while back is that my grandma Ada Johnson, when I go visit her in her small apartment in town, she would always share a little bowl of ice cream with me. But before we could eat that small bowl of ice cream, there was a Bible open on the table. And she wanted to first read a few verses and pray before we partook in that dessert. Because the Word of God for her was one of the main things. She was a church organist. She lived that in the way that she sought to live her life. God was a centerpiece and not an add-on. And so for me, she was one of those in a great lineup of saints, both living and those who've passed on, who shared Jesus with me. We'll take some time over the next couple days to reflect on that and maybe even reach out to one who's had that impact on you. I'm sure they'd love to hear that and know that they made a difference sharing the gospel of Jesus. So here we are in this letter, and this is what Paul is doing. He's one who's always sharing the good news, the gospel. And the present circumstances for Paul, again, we know that he writes this in a prison. He's coping there in the prison. He's experiencing opposition in the prison. But Paul reflects outwardly that he is not down. He is not depressed. He does not feel that this has been a lost cause. But rather, his focus is outward. His focus is missional. His focus is out there into the future. He can see it. And so he's wanting to tell those paying attention and those around him that there is good news, even in suffering, even in hardship, in this moment in time, there's good news. And the good news is that more and more and more are hearing about this Jesus. Because he's in jail, more and more and more are hearing about this Jesus. And so what Paul is wanting to do, he's wanting to reframe his circumstance, right? And we can so easily, when we're confronted with a hardship, really get our head down. And he's saying here, let's keep our heads up. Let's reframe what's going on. Let's put on the mind of the Messiah, as I talked about in the last session. And if we have the mind of the Messiah, and if we are reframing this, well, then there is a different light here because of who Jesus is. Jesus' gospel, the good news, is being advanced in my hardship. Even to the point where he's saying the Imperial Guard, all of those around, are having to hear about this Jesus. It's not just out there in the small villages and towns where it's safe. We're now in the center of the empire in many ways. And he's saying it's all for the best. It is truly all for the best. The Imperial Guard, as they hear it, we can say the word is getting out to all. It flows out from the center now, not just from the outlying areas and in. And he feels, he's sensing, as he writes, that these seeds that are being planted of the gospel, that they're at the heart of this empire now too. And the seeds that are being planted, that they will bear fruit. Those will, in time, show that they were planted deep within that soil of the hearts and minds and souls of people who heard. So if Jesus then is the Lord of the world, there's an implication that the Imperial Guard is having to come to recognize, whether they like it or not, that they're not it. If Jesus is the Lord of the world, then the Imperial Guard or the Empire is not. So what does that mean? They're going to have to look into that. They're going to have to ask hard questions, right? Again, the word is getting out to all. And there will be a wrestling and there will be more conversation. Now we know, in Jesus, the world, the empire sought to put that voice down, right? This is why Jesus was crucified. Jesus humble on a cross. Jesus taking on the sin of the world. But through it, God still raises people to new life. God still points to resurrection hope. And so this humility, this cross-bearing Jesus, this gospel that's being shared through Paul and all of those around him, it's changing things. And you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Paul, I think, really knows that. Is once the genie's out of the bottle, you're not going to put this back in the bottle, no matter what the empire does. Yeah, the empire might strike back, but the empire also has to try to work within this. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. The other thing is, for Paul being in prison now, is that others are more prepared. He's pointing to that as well. Others are more prepared to speak the message as well. If he wasn't in prison, they would say maybe, oh, that's just Paul's thing, or Paul will lead it, or Paul will be the primary speaker. But now, more and more are having to take the gospel upon themselves and actualize it, put words to it, and share the story. It is multiplying quite readily and available in everyone around. And they do. They embrace it. They have to get on with it. And he points to the fact that they're not backing down, or they're not afraid because he's in jail. They've actually been emboldened to speak even more clearly with this message. And the message is the Lordship of Jesus is here and it's now. And the Lordship of the Imperial Empire, that is not the way of life that is going to produce life. Only Jesus will. And so those two are locked in here, a little bit of a power struggle. And it's not as revolutionary as one would think, because again, Jesus does not come in like the Roman Empire or the military to rule over, but it's a bubbling up from the bottom, right? It's an opening. It's a spirit that is on the move. So the Lordship of Jesus and the Lordship of the Imperial Power, those are locked in. So Paul talks now as well today about these others who are preaching the gospel from bad motives, or those who aren't really doing this to advance the gospel, but to cause him more suffering. So, of course, with this message, and this happens in our world too, some are out there out of envy or jealousy, and they're twisting this message maybe to cause more pain or more suffering to those first followers. Because for many, you know, they know the empire. They love the empire. They have benefits within the empire. And they don't want a new king. So they would prefer the status quo. And as these two things come head to head against each other, they know one way to silence the message, silence the seeds, destroy the seeds that are being planted, is to get ahead of that and to point to jealousy and envy and destruction and more pain and more suffering. Just silence all of them. And then this will go away. Well, for many, they know that the message is out there. You're not going to be able to totally, quote, rein it in. It is out there. And the net result for Paul is he's saying, even when there's some suffering and even when others are causing problems or preaching out of envy, he says, don't worry about it, folks. Don't worry about it. That's not the main thing. The net result right now is that the message is getting out there and your job is to announce Jesus. And so Paul is not discouraged. Well, of course, there's other examples of biblical characters that unintentionally proclaim the Messiah. We see this in our scriptures. You hear in the Gospel of John from Pontius Pilate and Caiaphas. Remember Pontius Pilate writing Jesus, King of the Jews, and putting it above his head on the cross? Well, he was doing that to mock him, to ridicule him. But the Gospel writers would say, even though Pilate didn't mean it, even though it was a snarky comment, they were actually pointing to a truth that many had already come to understand. And so the word went out from there. And Caiaphas, he announced, you know, it's better for one to die than for a whole nation. So it's better that this one be sacrificed rather than the whole lot of them suffering. And so again, Caiaphas too, he was professing this power of this gospel in Jesus, even though he didn't know it. And so this truth of Jesus, his lordship, his messiahship, it's out there, and you can't put it back in the bottle. Now, the church here, too, would have been considered one who said that the gospel creates positive impacts on society. And the church has often had to defend that. So where in this time of the empire between Paul and the word on the street of who the true king is and all that, as they're in conflict, people say, well, you can't point to the power of both. Oh, there can only be one. But I think we would, as Christ followers, point to the fact that the gospel builds up community and society. The gospel does not dismantle or overthrow or overturn in these militaristic, deadly ways, but the gospel actually makes people better citizens. I mean, the gospel, for those who are really embracing it and living it, for example, if you go back to the commandments out of which many people point to the power of those as a way of life that produces life, you'd say good citizens don't murder and good citizens don't steal. Even Jesus saying, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Go ahead and pay taxes. Be good citizens in the world, but recognize there is little life to be had in the empire. Your life ultimately rests in God. And God has a better way in which to function for us so that all can thrive and flourish and have their being in the world. And I think we can see that time and time again. We know in the word of God that we are to beat our swords into plowshares. And there are all kinds of communities that have taken in those kinds of weapons and melted them down and made them into shovels to dig for planting trees and gardens, providing food to the world. There's examples where people have laid down their weapons to say, we want to work on peace and a forward way of going in the world. And at times, we have to really seriously look at this and say, we have to get off the treadmill of things that have been put in place that ultimately are not moving us in that direction, in the ways that God desires. People who are living out the gospel, they act out of love, not out of envy and jealousy and hate and those things that seek to destroy. So as we act out of love, of course, we proclaim more of Jesus, not less, because people can actually see Jesus at work in the human beings. And that is contagious. That spreads. So again, Paul wants to celebrate this time of hardship, this time of suffering, this time of imprisonment, saying, I know it's not perfect. It's not the way that we ultimately would want it to be, but the idea of Jesus as King, it is transforming you and it's transforming the world. And so keep spreading it. Live that partnership. Live that good news. Live that announcement, because it is working. And I love that we have these biblical examples that point to life and joy and peace and hope in the midst of suffering. Because in so many ways, we too are suffering. Our world is suffering. Hardship is inflicting and impacting everyone. You don't have to look far outside your home. If it's not happening where you are, you don't have to look far to neighbor, friend, coworker, person within the church, outreach agency, anywhere, to know the hardship that daily takes place as people yearn to live a full and meaningful life. There is hardship, and that will always be with us. And so we need letters like this to say, even now, even then, in the midst of your hardship, there is good news. So I want to leave you with these questions. And again, I hope you call somebody, maybe listen to this podcast together and talk about these questions, because I think they're transformative. Number one is, what are some difficult circumstances you are facing? And how might God be using them to advance the gospel? What are some difficult circumstances that you are facing? And how might God be using them to advance the gospel? Number two, how would you reframe your circumstances the way Paul did to help you see that God may be actually reaching you in your time of need? How would you reframe your circumstances the way Paul did so that you could see God might be reaching you in your circumstance? And number three, in what ways do we tend to leave ministry, quote, to the professionals rather than seeing our lives and circumstances as occasions for mission? In what ways do we tend to leave ministry, quote, to the professionals rather than seeing our whole life and all of our circumstances as occasions for mission? Remember, Paul says at the end of this short section that we read over today, that we studied today, that we're diving deep in today, that we're seeking to flourish with today, I rejoice. Yes, I rejoice. And I will continue to always rejoice. God's peace and hope be with each of you. And we'll see you right here next time on this podcast. Blessings in the meantime. Take care.